Hebrews chapter number 12. Hebrews chapter number 12, surprisingly, directly follows Hebrews chapter 11. Pretty awesome how that works. Hebrews chapter 11, all about faith. Man, that's good, isn't it, Brother Rodell? For 6 years of Bible Institute, that's the kind of stuff you come out with. And so there you are, Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 is about faith. It's about faith. We come to chapter 12, and we jump right into chapter 12. We have all the examples of an 11 of faith and how it's impossible to please God without faith. And the Lord just goes through the Old Testament for us, brings us accounts of the New Testament, things that people went through. And man, what an encouragement to stick with and not to give up. We start chapter 12 with, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." So in light of, or in with the information we had just been given in chapter 11, he says, now it's time for you to run your race. And by how? Well, by faith. How do we stay on that path? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And there we have our challenge in our heart. Hey, stick with it. Don't quit. Don't give up. There's no, as I look in my life and the difficulties, and as you evaluate the difficulties and the struggles, and then you go back to Hebrews chapter 11, and there's a story similar but much more extreme of people just like you and I that stuck with it, and the Lord was with them, and it encourages our heart. So when we jump into chapter 12, and we see that we keep our eyes on Jesus, we just keep running, and man, you're excited about serving the Lord, and as you can continue chapter 12, what does it go right into? God correcting us. And it's like someone just slammed on the brakes. Man, I was ready to, and all of a sudden, and I was trying to think of the context, like, why would you put this in here? It just didn't seem, but hey, within life, as you kind of go through, and as you're walking by faith, sometimes running by faith, living by faith, God's going to put some guardrails in your life to keep you on that path. It's called chastisement. It's called correction. Now, understand this. We can maybe look at our life, and I don't want to misrepresent the Lord, and I can't tell you always what God and how God is working. If I could, we'd be God, right? But I can tell you what it says. And maybe you look at your life and you apply some of those things, and I think there's a misconception of who the Lord is in our life. And we think of chastisement. Now, I love my kids. I do. I love them more than, well, more than your kids, right? I mean, and that, I think that's how it's supposed to be. As a father, they came out and they were ugly and slimy and nasty, but they're the greatest thing. And you're showing pictures, and those are your kids, and you love them, and you want to see them succeed in the Lord, and you want to see them walk with God, and within that, because I love them, well, sometimes we got to set up guardrails in their life. We got to set up boundaries, and sometimes that pushback isn't always fun. I'd much rather go out and throw the ball around or sit at the table on a cold winter night when the wood stove is going and having hot chocolate. We keep the hot chocolate away from the table when we play board games because accidents do happen. And I'd much rather do that, or I'd much rather just fellowship together. But sometimes the kids rear up some rebellion. Are your children, Ms. Dickinson, did that happen in your house? Okay, all right. So I'm not doing, Mrs. Dickinson's raising rebellious kids. Surely my kids, once in a while. All right. Bob's here. Bob's like, you know it. And every now and then, you gotta push back on that a little bit. Why do you do that? Well, because I love them. So when we ask ourselves the question, why does the Lord chastise us? It's because he loves you. What is chastisement? Well, I'll tell you what it's not. It's not vengeful. God never disciplines with vengeance in our life. It's an act of love. If you can think about your relationship with your children and when you've had to correct them, it was for their own betterment. You didn't like it. You didn't like it. I'm sure the Lord doesn't like when he has to correct us either. Why does he do that? Well, he does it because it's an act of love. Who does he do that to? Well, look at chapter 12 and verse 7. So here you are running in your race. Ever get off course? Brother Rice, ever get off course a little bit? Ever get off course in your faith a little bit? I mean, we just read about Hebrews chapter 11, right? We're talking about that and walking by faith. And man, you come out of there and somewhere, what is that phrase? Sawn asunder. Woo, man. Bible says in chapter 11, verse 38, of whom the world was not worthy. Isn't that something? And there you are. Wherefore, seeing we are, and it just becomes so personable and personal, and you got to run your race, and then all of a sudden you get in your race, sometimes you get off course a little bit. You're supposed to be looking unto Jesus, but every now and then you start looking at the waves. You're supposed to be walking on water, but there you are, and all of a sudden you get distracted by the cares of this life or whatever it is, and you get your eyes off of Christ, and then all of a sudden you're off course. And that's when the Lord steps in and kind of bumps you back. And who is that he does that to? In chapter 12 and verse 7, if you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. Who does this apply to? This applies to his children. So why would he do that? Well, chapter 12 and verse 6. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Hey, everybody's going to, I don't care how, I mean, JP is wonderful. I love him. Pure as the driven snow, but I bet if you talk to his parents a little bit, yeah, there's been times when he needed a little correction. Your kids have needed a little correction. I don't care how good of a Christian you are. There's times when every one of us, by the Father himself, need a little correction. And he does it because he loves us. And he does it because we're his children. Hold there in Hebrews chapter number 12, Proverbs chapter number 3. Bible says in Proverbs chapter number 3 and verse 12, for whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as the Father, the Son, in whom he delighteth. You see, he uses that word delighteth. Hey, this isn't a kid I despise. This is a kid I love. And because I love him, I want to see him stay on that straight and narrow. I want to see him walking by faith. I want to see him be an example to others. So the Lord gets involved in our life. This isn't just some God that takes his hands off. I saved you and now I'm going to go work on some other project. No, you're always on his mind. You're always part of his concerns. He's always watching over. And you start wandering off your faith. You know what he's going to do? He's going to correct you. He does that because he loves you. That's what the scripture says. Go back to Hebrews chapter number 12. Why else does he do it? Well, it says here in verse 10, for they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. He doesn't do it just because he, not only does he love you, but it's beneficial for you. It's profitable for you. God says it's worthwhile. It'll keep you on the right path. It'll help keep you clean. It'll help keep you humble. The correction of God. Why else? It helps us see his mercy. Say, I don't know. When I'm in the middle of correction, I'm not looking at God as very merciful. Can we look here just for a moment? Second Samuel chapter number 24, the last days of David. 2 Samuel chapter number 24. Ever get in your mind to do wrong? Like, bent on it. I'm going to do wrong. Well, David's heart. David's heart was bent on numbering the kingdom. Joab says, I wouldn't do that. And he says, well, you don't know what you're talking about. I'm going to do it anyways. And he did that. And God told him not to do that, but he did it. In 2 Samuel chapter number 24 and verse 10, and David's heart smote him after he had numbered the people. See, that's God's correction. When you do something you shouldn't do as a child of God, there's some feelings inside of, that wasn't right. And David said unto the Lord, I have sinned greatly in that I have done, and now I beseech thee, O Lord, take away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly. And when David was up in the morning, and the word of the Lord came unto the prophet Gad, David's seer, saying, go and say unto David, thus saith the Lord, I offer thee three things. Choose thee one of them, that I may do it unto thee. And he gives him options. He says, what would you like? In verse 13, so Gad came to David and told him and said unto him, shall 7 years of famine come unto thee in thy land? That's option number one. Or wilt thou flee 3 months before thine enemies while they pursue thee? Option number two. That means your enemies get to have victory over you. Would you like 7 years of famine, 3 months of losing to your enemies, or that there would be 3 days of pestilence in thy land? D, none of the above. I don't want any of those. Now advise and see what answer I shall return to him that sent me. Gad comes to David and says, you're right, you did do wrong, and there's some correction needed. Here's your options. What would you like me to report back to the Lord? And David said unto Gad, I am in a great strait. Let us fall now into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great, and let me not fall into the hand of man. So the Lord sent pestilence upon Israel from the morning to the time appointed. Was that God's judgment, his chastisement? It was. How many days was he supposed to have it? 3 days. How many days did he have it? And when the angel stretched out his hand upon Jerusalem to destroy it, the Lord repented him of the evil and said to the angel that destroyed the people, it is enough. After 1 day, they put a stop to it. How many people died? 1 day, 70,000 men. Sometimes in God's chastisement and correction, we get to see his hand of mercy too. I know what I deserve. I know what I should be getting. And then you see what you actually get. And God in his correction, even in his correction, not only do we see his love, but we see his mercy. It helps us stay on the right path. So when Solomon comes and David says, listen, let me tell you something, son. Here's something you shouldn't do. Do not number the kingdom. God told me not to when I did. You know what? It would help Solomon later on to stay on the right path. Hey, in our own life, when we experience the correction of the Lord and chastisement of God, that keeps us on the right, straight and narrow. Do you know why I don't go into Walmart and just take things off the shelf, put it in my cart, and walk out? Because I don't want to go to jail, Kiana. Yeah, I want the stuff. I can't afford the stuff, but I also like this. I like being able to grill at my house and sleep in my own bed. I don't like orange jumpsuits. I don't want to go to jail. The consequences keep us on the right path. Knowing God's judgment, if you've ever experienced God's judgment, if you've ever experienced the correction and chastening of the Lord, it helps us stay on the path further down. That's why for our young people, we try to encourage them there comes a time as a parent. I don't recommend at the ages of 3 and 5 and 7, but eventually, the kids have to make their own decisions. And sometimes making bad decisions, even though they come and seek advice and you give them what was the right answer, they still go the other way. Well, sometimes correction is a great teacher. It's a great deterrent. I'd much rather have my son at 14 to learn that than at 24, because the consequences are so much steeper at 24, 34, 44. Why do we go through correction? Because it helps us stay on the right path. Because it's profitable. It'll keep us clean. It'll keep us humble. It'll allow us to see God's mercy and allow us to see God's love. In Hebrews chapter 12, don't get me wrong, verse 11, it says, "Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous." Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 11, "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous." What is it? It's difficult. It's hard. "Nevertheless, afterward yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." Hey, the end is better. Going through, it's rough. But at the end, look at what it says. The peaceable fruit of righteousness. Doesn't that sound wonderful? How do I get that? Going through the correction. When does God's correction show up in my life? Shows up every time we go against God's leading and guidance. Free will is a blessing. It's also a curse. God allows us to make bad decisions. God allows us. Now, we have the indwelling Holy Spirit of God that's telling us every step of the way, do not do that. But sometimes we quench the Spirit and do whatever it is that we want to do. And because of that, you have to deal with the consequences. Consequences of our own choices. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We're almost done. Like, this might be our last verse. Might, I don't know. This is coming to the end of the Lord's Supper here, the explanation, taking things unworthily, but there's a principle here starting in verse 31. "For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged." Hey, is that better? That's me standing at Walmart going, "You know what? I sure would like that, but I'm not going to do that because I don't want the consequences. I judged. I made a decision. Therefore, I don't have to stand before a judge and be judged. So I'm gonna decide right here." Look at verse 32. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 32. "But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world." What this is not the eternal consequences. This is talking about daily consequences. It's not God's going to yank our salvation and send us to a fiery pit of hell because we... No, this is for His children. We're not getting the condemnation that the world will get, but there certainly is chastening from the Lord. This is not the eternal condemnation. But it certainly brings us back to focus. And that's what Hebrews chapter 12 talks about. Looking unto Jesus. I don't like them. But I'm sure they've helped us quite a few times. Say, what are you talking about? Rumble strips. And all of a sudden. And what's the first thing? You just look. Guaranteed you weren't looking straight. God's correction is those rumble strips. Those guardrails. Ever hit a guardrail? Say, yeah, I messed up my car. Do you know what's on the other side of the guardrail? A really deep ditch. By our house when you come out, there's a Kendall Mills there, and remember, Sarah was taking, she was coming to church, she had a pie slid, she went to go get the pie, took the truck right along the guardrail. It's better than going down into the ravine, into the creek. In our life, all of a sudden we hit a guardrail, boom! And what does it do? It shocks us into looking back into Christ. But it kept us out of the ravine, to which we can thank God. At the end of this, there is a peaceable fruit of righteousness. When we see David, what did he do? He just poured out his sin before the Lord. Lord, I am sorry. That's what correction does. That's what correction should do. There's been times when I've corrected my children, and you can tell when there's a change of attitude and when there's not. You go through the process, whatever your process looks like. Ours usually happens in our bedroom. And if there's not a change of attitude, sometimes the kids get up, okay, we're done with this. Oh no, you're sitting right there. Because things didn't change on the inside. Hey, when you're going through that correction from the Lord, the best thing to do is just change as quickly as you can. Humble yourself. God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for missing that principle. I'm sorry for not listening again. Please forgive me. And you might get a chance to see some mercy. Understand that that chastisement and correction is out of love to keep you protected. That we'd walk by faith. Let's all stand. I don't know where you're at tonight. Maybe you're experiencing that. Maybe you forgot about that, and sometimes you feel like, hey, God's hand's off my life. You start going contrary to what he says, and as a child, as his child, he says, I'm gonna get involved. Either you correct yourself or I'm going to have to get involved. Right? As parents, we've said that. God says that to us. Say, I don't like it. Yeah, but at the end, we're where we should be. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for your correction in our life. God, it's brought about by our own decisions and no one to blame but ourselves. In the middle of it, it is grievous and difficult, but at the end, Lord, thank you. Thank you that you love us. Thank you that you care for us. Thank you, God, that you give us to see an opportunity to see a little bit of your mercy. Lord, I pray you'd help us to stay walking by faith. We would stay on course. Lord, thank you for the freedom and the liberty that you give us with that. Lord, help us to choose right. Help us to be an example to those that we're around. God, I pray you'd watch over us now, protect us as we travel home. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a good night.